Well, good evening, everyone, and lovely to see you all here. If you turn over your little service card, you'll see that there's a verse from the Bible on the back there, and we'll be looking at that in just a moment. I'll read it in just a moment, but you'll need to have your service card turned the other way around just for the next few minutes. Now, over the last few years, quite a number of people have been lamenting the sad demise of what seems to be a peculiarly British Christmas tradition, that of the round-robin Christmas letter. You might remember, so you opened your Christmas card and out fell a piece of paper with family pictures and family news, usually just a double-sided piece of A4, although I did read about one person who used to send round a 16-page booklet chronicling every detail of the past year in merciless detail, including how much each car park had cost them on their holiday to France over the summer. My parents actually had a little book of the collected best, or worst perhaps, of the Christmas letters, bits of letters that people had sent in. Sadly, it seems that the Christmas round-robin letter is becoming a little bit of a dying art, especially for the generation sort of millennial and down, having been overtaken by things like social media. Although perhaps some of us still enjoy reading or even writing a Christmas letter. What I'd like to do this evening is to use that nostalgic memory of a Christmas letter to look at that little verse that we have here on our service cards. It's written by a man called Paul. Now, Paul was one of the earliest Christian believers. He had seen Jesus Christ personally. He was a specially commissioned servant of Jesus. That's what apostle means. And Paul was a great letter writer. He wrote a lot of letters that are collected in what we now call the New Testament. And the verse here on our cards is from one of Paul's letters. He's writing to a friend called Timothy. It's not actually a Christmas letter, but I think if Paul had been writing a Christmas letter, he wouldn't have changed very much. Let me read that little verse for you. Paul writes, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And we're going to spend just a few minutes looking at that short verse together, picking out two things that are, or perhaps were, common features of the Christmas letter. And number one, of course, is reflection on the past. A good Christmas letter spends some time looking back over the last year. Now, the stereotype goes that we are apparently, as Brits, incapable of writing anything normal or balanced in our Christmas letters. The news tends to lurch wildly, doesn't it, from the absolutely awesome to the absolutely awful. Examples I looked at range from the somewhat pretentious, "The year really began when we celebrated Mozart's birthday together," to the far too much information, an operation which entails shortening the bowel by cutting out a small section and stapling the two ends together, to the utterly despairing, "Jim started the year badly with appendicitis. Then Stuart's arm was in plaster when he missed landing on the mat during the high jump. Terry ended up with an infected elbow and Ollie started treatment on a rugby injury, still not sorted. After the summer holidays, Stu broke his leg. Within 5 days, Mum had had a heart attack, better now. My sister needed her head stitching. Ollie was stung by a jellyfish and our dog needed an emergency op." All within one letter. We seem rather incapable, don't we, of finding some kind of normal middle ground in our Christmas letters. What sort of thing might Paul say? Well, Paul doesn't so much summarize his achievements of the previous year, things that have happened. Rather look at how he describes himself. "Christ Jesus," says Paul, "came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Sinners, of whom I am the worst. That is Paul's reflection on himself. It's not the jolly Christmas line that we might have been expecting. Paul describes himself as a sinner. Now, in the Bible, a sinner isn't simply someone who eats and drinks a little bit too much over the festive season, perhaps getting a little bit grumpy with our families. Being a sinner, it is not even just about doing the much more terrible things that we can't help but see in the world around us. Now, in the Bible, at the very heart of being a sinner is our attitude towards God. You see, there is a God who made every one of us, and all things come from him. All the good things that we enjoy at this time of year, the warm glow of the candlelight, the old church buildings, the beautiful Christmas carols, the tasty Christmas dinners. In fact, our very lives and the breaths we take, all given to us by God. And so, of course, well, the only right way to behave towards God is to acknowledge him, to give thanks to him, to love him, to worship him, and to live the way that he says we should. In fact, that's how he's made us to live, and it's how we flourish. And to be a sinner, well, to be a sinner is to do the opposite of that, to live in God's world without reference to God, as if, in fact, we ourselves were God, as if to say, mine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. It's the heart of what it is to be a sinner, as we heard in our reading from Genesis 3. And it's when we do that, that all the other terrible things start to flow out of us. It all goes wrong, because we're not made, quite simply not made, to live that way without God. And that's me, says Paul, a sinner. In fact, he actually calls himself the worst of sinners. Why? Is that because Paul is a sort of early version of Scrooge? Or is he just sort of pessimistic, gloomy, unnecessarily down on himself? Well, no, he's just saying it as it is. You see, Paul in his earlier life had so strongly rejected God that he used to persecute the church. He would go around trying to have Christians put to death and cursing the so-called Savior Jesus Christ. Paul hated God and showed his hatred in very extreme ways, the most blatant, in-your-face way possible. As sinners go, by Paul's own admission, he was as bad as you could get. Now, believe it or not, that is actually the beginning of the good news. I know it doesn't sound like it, but we are beginning to move towards the gloriously good news of Christmas, and we'll come to that properly in just a moment. But perhaps we need to take another hit first, because yes, Paul describes himself as the worst of sinners, but that does not let us off the hook. The Bible makes it very clear that every one of us is a sinner. We have all lived as if we were God instead of God, and that has shown itself in all sorts of different ways. It probably hasn't meant doing what Paul did, but doesn't it show itself so often in the way that we treat those whom we're supposed to love the most? It shows itself in our selfishness and our pride and our greed. The words that we say and the thoughts that we think, we are not what we should be. The Bible says we are sinners, all of us. And one day, God will hold us to account for how we have lived. Now, that's not a hugely comfortable thing to think about, is it? But actually, I wonder if Paul's brutal honesty is actually very helpful right now. The last couple of years have been hard, very hard, for some. And usually we're quite good at pretending that everything is fine. But COVID has rather stripped away the mask, if you'll excuse the expression, hasn't it? It's rather stripped away the pretense, whether that's the effect of the pandemic itself, or the things we keep seeing on the news, or perhaps the chance we've had to reflect on ourselves. Maybe like me, during the lockdowns, you had a little bit more time, enforced time, to reflect on yourself. And self-reflection is not always very pretty, is it? The last couple of years have left me with a deeper sense of my own failure to love God and love others as I should. There is so much mess, both in the world and in our own hearts. And I find Paul's realism very hugely helpful at a time like this. The Christian faith doesn't pretend that everything is marvelous in this world. It's very clear, isn't it, that there are things that are deeply wrong. And the Bible gives us permission to acknowledge that we ourselves are not what we should be. In fact, it doesn't just give us permission to do that. It insists that we must. And that does bring us to the good news of Christmas. Now, if you're perhaps feeling inspired maybe to resurrect the grand old tradition of the Christmas letter, WikiHow actually has a page on how to write a Christmas letter, last updated on the 27th of November 2021. So clearly, they still believe WikiHow. Tip number 6 under crafting the content of your letter says this: end with a hope-filled note. End with a hope-filled note, something like perhaps, may your Christmas time be full of joy, or blessings to you and your family, and best wishes for the coming year. Or even, perhaps not very sincerely, it would be lovely to see you. We really much must catch up this coming year. Those are good ways to end a Christmas letter. But Paul has got something even better than that. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And here is the glorious news of the Christian faith. The very reason, says Paul, that Jesus came into this world, the very reason we celebrate this time of year, was to save, to rescue sinners, people like you and me. Jesus came into this world for a very specific purpose, that of saving sinners. How did Jesus do that? Well, our carols and our readings tell the story, don't they, of how Jesus, God the Son himself, became a human baby, how he grew up and lived a sinless life, and how as a man he was crucified for the sins of the world, bearing all of our shame and guilt and sin. And then he rose again to new life, never to die again, so that anyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. And that means not only that Jesus will forgive our sins, but that one day he will fully raise us to eternal life as well. He will give us life forever in a new world where there are none of the sadnesses of this world. In our final carol, in just a moment, we will sing that Jesus was born that man no more may die. And here's what that means. There is eternal life in every sense. There is salvation on offer. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can you imagine how Paul must have felt as he wrote that line, knowing all the things that he had done, the worst of sinners, but saved by Jesus Christ? How full of joy and of peace he must have been as he wrote that glorious sentence. And you know, Paul wrote that sentence with a very specific purpose, because in just the next sentence, Paul explains that if Jesus can save him, then Jesus can save anyone. Paul was as far away from God as he could possibly have been, and yet here he is writing a letter about how Jesus has saved him. And it may be that you're sitting here thinking, no chance, not me. I've made far too much of a mess of my life, the things that I've said or done. I've gone too far gone, miles away from God. Perhaps I've blown it. Perhaps it's too late. Or even perhaps you're thinking, I'm just not interested in God, and God wouldn't be interested in saving me. But Paul says Jesus saved him. And I know that there are people in this room who once felt that they were exactly like Paul, far away from God, and yet who now rejoice like Paul because Jesus has saved them. You see, Paul will not allow us to think that we don't need saving. We do, but neither will Paul let us think that we can't be saved. We can. No matter how far from God we may be, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that is why Christians celebrate so joyfully, so profoundly. It's why we, as we sung in our first carol, why we sing, Come, let us adore him. Because there is glorious salvation on offer for anyone. All we need to do is to believe in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Come to Jesus and be saved. If you're not sure how to do that, well, feel free to talk to myself or to Nathan afterwards. Perhaps ask the friend who brought you. If you'd like to explore these things a little bit further, do join us on the course that we're going to run in January, which will explore the Christian faith a little bit more. And please feel free to take this little red booklet on a table at the back. This little red booklet called So This Is Christmas, again, explains just a little bit more about the message of the Christian faith. Do take one you can come to Jesus and be saved. And so I want to leave us with an invitation, or perhaps a challenge. Did you notice that Paul writes, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance? This is God's own truth. Here is a truth that deserves to be believed wholeheartedly. It deserves full acceptance. The challenge, the invitation for us, is will we accept it and trust Jesus to save us? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.